From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the Pentagon attacks Fox News, corporate campaign contributions are down, and the Pope makes a stand on marriage. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. On Monday, Florida Representative Jim Banks joined Tony Perkins to talk about an interesting offensive launched by the Pentagon. Here's Tony Perkins as he introduces our first topic.
Last week, Fox News host Tucker Carlson made the following comment in his monologue about how Joe Biden's new war games for the military is identity politics and search and destroy the conservatives within. Here is what he said in part.
So we've got new hairstyles and maternity flight suits. Pregnant women are going to fight our wars. It's a mockery of the U.S. military. While China's military becomes more masculine as it's assembled the world's largest navy, our military needs to become, as Joe Biden says, more feminine, whatever feminine means anymore, since men and women no longer exist. The bottom line is it's out of control, and the Pentagon's going along with this. Again, this is a mockery of the U.S. military and its core mission, which is winning wars.
Now, if you listen to this program, you've heard basically the same thing. I think on this, Tucker Carlson is spot on. So it is not so much what he said that is newsworthy for us to talk about on this program, but how the Pentagon is reacting to what he said. That is the story. The military brass have turned their rhetorical guns on Tucker Carlson, which I think is very revealing. Joining me now to explain what it is revealing is Congressman Jim Banks. He serves as the 3rd Congressional District Representative of Indiana. He is also a member of the House Armed Services Committee, former combat veteran, and the chairman of the House Republican Study Committee. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you.
So what does this reveal about the Pentagon that they have basically, you know, they were going to do a stand down to address quote-unquote extremism in the military, but it looks like they took a stand down to point all their attention to Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, Tony, we've never seen anything quite like this, at least that I can point to in American history, where the Pentagon has turned its focus away from our greatest adversaries, our greatest adversary of all being, of course, the Chinese Communist Party, and instead turned their sights solely on Tucker Carlson, a media figure with the most popular television program on all of cable news. You'll notice that if you listen to the entire segment, Tony, Tucker Carlson never demeans women serving in the military. In fact, he's responding to a press conference from President Biden who mentions these pregnancy flight suits and some of these other matters. And Tucker's making a very important and valid case that while the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, while the Secretary of Defense, while the Pentagon is focused on the woke politics of the moment, they're not focused on defeating our most dangerous enemies and confronting our most dangerous adversaries. So yet that's the media narrative today is something that's altogether false because it plays into this sort of a full-scale PR campaign by the Pentagon. You've seen a number of official Pentagon Twitter accounts attacking Tucker Carlson for something that he never said, but it's all wrapped up into this bigger, I think, more important issue of where our Pentagon, where our national defense apparatus is focused on. Certainly not where it should be.
Well, the bottom line is the question he asked, which we've asked many, many times on this program. How do their policies help them fight and win wars? Here's my take on this, is that it's as if Tucker probed their front lines and he exposed a tremendous weakness. So they are trying to do everything they can to distract from what he has exposed, and that is this political correctness, this wokeness that has invaded our nation's military, undermines the readiness of our military and our national security.
Yeah, the latter half of the interview with Tucker, Tony, I was a part of. Tucker interviewed me about a letter that I wrote to the Chief of Naval Operations, the top admiral in the entire United States Navy, who has a reading list. And on his reading list is a book titled How to Be an Anti-Racist. And in fact, the book itself is very racist and extreme. At a time when the Pentagon is talking about ridding extremism from the ranks, they're telling sailors in the United States Navy to read a book that suggests that every American is racist. And I was raising the point on Tucker's show of the contradiction of the oath of office that every sailor raises their right hand and takes, and then the CNO telling them they should read a book that says that America is racist, capitalism is racist, the Navy is racist, all of America is racist, which really defies the question of why anyone would raise their right hand and serve to protect a country that is flawed and racist, as this author puts it. So Tucker is taking heat for the first half of the interview, again, for something that Tucker never suggested that women shouldn't serve in the military. But of course, we would never send pregnant women into combat, which is the case that he's making, too. But let me make one final point. The military has always been one of the most highly regarded institutions in America. And the reason why is because the military doesn't get involved in politics until now. On Joe Biden's watch, as part of this administration, you've seen the Pentagon become politicized to a point that we've never seen before. And all of a sudden, polls are coming out that shows that the public trust and regard for our military is diminishing day by day as they get more and more involved in politics.
Yeah, when I saw the response of the military to Tucker's, and I watched the whole monologue that he gave setting up the interview that he did with you, and again, I think he was spot on. He was absolutely correct in what he had to say. That's really not the news. The news is how the military responded to it and how the media has given the military a pass. If the military under Donald Trump, for instance, when he reversed the policy of Barack Obama on transgenderism in the military, had the military started tweeting out saying, yeah, that's right, we have to fight and win wars, we don't have time for this nonsense, this make-believe, the media would have gone crazy. But yet, when they do the same thing for Joe Biden, supporting his policies and becoming a mouthpiece for the administration, the media is absolutely silent.
Yeah, and the public polling is showing, Tony, that the American people see it for what it is. It's sad for me and you, too, who have served our country and worn the uniform, to see this occur. But for the public regard and trust in the institution that's always been the most trusted institution in America to decline so sharply because of situations like these is a sad moment for our country, and something that we should categorically reject and push back against. I know that I am, and other Republicans on the Armed Services Committee are asking tough questions of our military leadership of why they've trained their focus so squarely on Tucker Carlson and why they're not building a military that can fight and win wars instead.
Well, and don't miss, I know you're not, but we don't want to miss the bigger point. It's what Tucker Carlson is saying because of the platform that he has and the reach that he has. But my question, Congressman Banks, is what is it going to take to awaken our military from this wokeness that has them in a stupor?
Yeah, we're in the midst of this 60-day stand down that you mentioned a little bit ago, rid extremism from the ranks, as they put it. I mean, I was at the Pentagon a couple of weeks ago, Tony, and I met with each of the branches to talk about this particular subject because I was recently assigned to be the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee Military Personnel Subcommittee. And part of that jurisdiction is it happens to involve these types of issues. So I ask each leaders in each of the branches, do you believe that we have an extremism or radicalism problem in your branch? And not a single one of them would come out and tell me that, yes, we have a problem and we need a 60-day stand down to rid out extremism or we have a racism problem. None of them will tell you that in private. But this the wokeness, the politically correct nature of this administration, I believe, is going to push this so far to the limit. To answer your question, they're so extreme in their approach that I believe America is going to backlash against it and want to return to a time when the military is apolitical, where it doesn't wade into these subjects and focuses on what they should instead. And I don't know that you'll see the result anywhere more clearly than at the ballot box. That's where the result will be viewed and seen, I believe, most starkly. Will have to be at the ballot box as a rejection of this type of politics occurring in our nation's military.
Well, I think Congressman, it'll show up one other place, and it did during the years of Barack Obama, and it's at the recruiting office. I think what you're going to see happen, where the vast majority of those who serve in our nation's military, not all, but the majority are right of center. They're conservative. They have that ethos of serving others, for the most part, not all. And I think what happens when you start seeing this kind of garbage coming out of the mouths of our military leaders and out of our president, the commander in chief, these young people are going to think differently, and primarily their parents are going to be steering them elsewhere. So I think that's going to be another crisis for this administration, and they're probably going to hide it. So you guys are going to need to probe and ask questions when those military leaders come before the committee.
We'll keep doing it, Tony. Thank you very much.
You can find out more about Jim Banks when you visit TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, former White House Chief of Staff, Reince Priebus.
The left has sought to redefine the truth about family, marriage, sexuality, gender, and the sanctity of life. Now more than ever, Christians must become equipped to address these difficult issues from a biblical perspective. FRC's Biblical Worldview series offers answers to the most pressing issues facing our culture. You will learn to think biblically about human sexuality, pro-life engagement, religious liberty, and political engagement. To access these free resources, visit frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Recently, a slew of corporations announced that they would halt political donations to Republican lawmakers who challenged the integrity of the 2020 elections. Surprisingly, donations have surged in spite of those corporate tactics. Joining Tony Perkins to discuss why it's happening is former White House Chief of Staff to President Trump and the current president of the Michael Best Law Firm, Reince Priebus.
Reince, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Tony, always a pleasure to be on with you, brother.
Now, you know a little bit about raising money because you did a lot when you were at the RNC, and corporations
Yes, sir.
Tend to give to both sides. But corporate America is really tracking left these days, and it looked like they thought they were going to throw their weight around in announcing they were cutting corporate donations, political donations, to those Republicans who questioned the outcome of the election. What's been the result?
Well, it's interesting, Tony. Some of the PACs have pulled back. There's no doubt about that. If you look at the first quarter giving, I know we're not done yet, so we'll wait and see what happens in March. But PACs, in fact, have held back in comparison to 2019. And just for your audience, the PACs are the groups that companies sometimes raise money into that then give money to candidates in federal committees like the Republican National Committee, Senatorial Committee, Congressional Committee. But what's happened, Tony, is that individual giving has actually gone up. I mean, I look at these numbers and you look at the RNC and you look at the Congressional Committee and the Senatorial Committee. They had a great January and they had and it's going to be reported, they had a great February. So what's happening is that individuals out there, in spite of what companies are saying to the general public, individuals out there are giving, and they're giving in big numbers. I mean, the cash on hand numbers, Tony, at the RNC, and you've got the cash on hand that the senatorial committee has. When do you start a cycle with 17 million cash on hand and the RNC at over 80 million cash on hand and had very solid months? So the individuals are making up for it, and they're making up for it because Joe Biden has overreached. This $1.9 trillion package is an overreach, and he hit everyone between the eyes with these executive orders, and people are scared, and rightfully so.
And to be real clear on this, when you talk about these individual donations, we're not talking about huge dollar amounts. We're talking about $200 and less. So there's just a lot more people giving smaller amounts, which is clearly offsetting the punch that corporate America thought they had and once did have.
the individual donations coming in to the Republican Party and its committees are record-breaking and unbelievable in the sense that for the first time in a long time, the Republican Party is going toe-to-toe with the Democrat Party on giving. And that is a testament to the individuals out there that have decided to take on the Democrats with small-dollar giving. And you're 100% correct.
The Reuters had a story about this, an article about it, which I thought was very insightful. I don't want to quote from it. It said, quote, "The biggest beneficiaries of raising small donor donations are often rabble-rousing politicians who vow to take on the Washington establishment," end quote. And I say, that is absolutely correct. That is what has given us more conservative candidates, because they're platforms to raise money and they're not accountable to corporate America and others. They're accountable to the people who elected them.
And, you know, President Trump was one of the first candidates we've had run for president that was sort of capable of stirring enough of the ground game and the individual givers that would get online, they would answer a text and give $5. Yeah. For whatever reason, you know, look, Romney and even Bush so much, they just didn't have that kind of sort of infectious appeal. Ground appeal that Trump had. And so what he did, to his credit, for as much as you hear about Trump, you know, battling with the party, it was Trump that actually built this sort of small dollar giving operation that's allowed us to break records. Now, we still have a long way to go. This Act Blue out there is unbelievable what the Democrats have built. But in 1 year, basically in 1 year, the Republicans are able to go toe to toe with individual giving at the small dollar rate. And it's really important because for us to compete, and do so in a way that's efficient, you have to master the small dollar giving with that kind of technology.
And you're right about President Trump. Nearly half of his $774 million in his presidential race came from small donations of under $200. So he did teach the party a lot. You did well as the chairman of the RNC and as his chief of staff. And it's always great to have you on the program. So thanks so much for stopping by, and don't stay away so long, Reince.
Hey, anytime, Tony. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Find ways that you can positively impact the political process and the world around you when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. The Stand on the Word 2-year Bible reading plan takes you through the scripture every day in an engaging manner. Start reading with FRC today. When you sign up, we text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Monday this week, Pope Francis took a stand on the issue of marriage, saying that same-sex unions are illicit and that God cannot bless sin. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins to talk about the Pope's decree is Eric Sammons, the editor of Crisis Magazine.
Eric, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me, Tony.
I have saved the answer for you. What did the Pope say to this question?
Well, basically, he said, no, the church does not have the power to give a blessing to unions of persons of the same sex.
The reason?
Well, essentially, a blessing is something that the church gives to actions or people that they offer up to God. So, for example, you might bless your pet in the sense of, a priest might bless a pet in the sense of, this is God's creation, it helps your family, whatever the case may be. But you can't bless an action that is in and of itself is sinful. So, for example, a priest couldn't bless an abortion. It goes against the whole purpose of a blessing because it's supposed to be directed towards God, that action. Likewise, a union of persons of the same sex is a sin. And therefore, you can't bless that because it's not directed towards God.
Yeah, I read the entire document, was quite encouraged by it, because essentially it is a statement of biblical truth in saying that, in part, they cannot bless us because it has to be according to the designs of God inscribed in creation and fully revealed by Christ the Lord, which same-sex unions and other relationships outside of marriage. In fact, it goes on to say, for this reason, it is not licit to impart a blessing on relationships or partnerships, even stable, that involve sexual activity outside of marriage. So it's not limited. Does it carve out just those same-sex relationships? But it talks about all relationships that are contrary to the design of God.
That's right. I mean, the question was directed towards unions of persons of the same sex, but what the church, what the Pope here is saying is, it's not just, we're not just saying these, but any relationship that's outside of biblical marriage, a marriage between a man and a woman for life, that's the only place that sexual activity is allowed. And so any union that is outside of that sexual union is a sin, and therefore the church can't bless it.
Right. And I actually was encouraged that they included the broader context, because I think what's happened in our culture, especially the last few years, as there's been this big push among activists in the LGBT community, is to carve out separate space for those of same-sex or transgender relationships, as opposed to, you know, those that are involved in extramarital relationships or sex outside of marriage. It all is the same in the eyes of Scripture in terms of being outside the created order of God, in terms of what He intends for people, His creation, to engage in.
That's exactly right. And it's part of identity politics that basically the LGBT movement has identified themselves with what the Bible basically says is a sin. They've identified themselves by an action that is contrary to the will of God. And so that's why in situations like this, what the Pope here is trying to say is, okay, you can't identify yourself as being a gravely sinful action. That can't be part of your identity. So the church isn't going to support that. And that is the case for any gravely
right.
sinful activity. We're not going to support it.
Right. And I'm glad that the church has spoken with clarity. The very last sentence, where they say, for the above-mentioned reasons, the church does not have and cannot have the power to bless unions of persons of the same sex in the sense intended above. Eric, did it surprise you with the strength and clarity of the statement coming out of the Vatican?
If I'm honest with you, the answer is yes, it did actually surprise me, because honestly, the Vatican hasn't always been clear on this issue, and it's caused a lot of confusion, and it's caused a lot of pain for people who are struggling to live a chaste lifestyle, who might have homosexual inclinations, and they're not getting that clarity from the Vatican to say, hey, this is something that it's good that you're remaining chaste, that you're going against those temptations you may have. And so I was very happy to see, although I was surprised, I was very happy that it was so clear. There's no debate about it. There's no wiggle room in their statement,
right,
which I thought was great.
Yeah, there was no gray area, but not everybody's happy with it, Eric.
No, they're not. I mean, and it's because of the confusion of our age, that we want to identify people by their gravely sinful actions instead of by who they are as images of God, created in the image of God, loved by Christ. And that's what we really should be focused on. But people have loved their own sin since Adam and Eve, and so they still do. And so it's a job of Christians really to stand up and say, no, this is what's best for people. This is the design of God, is to follow the path that He laid out. And that does not include sexual activity outside of marriage.
Yeah, the church was intended to be a countercultural institution, because if it was going the same direction as the culture, or the culture was going the same direction as the church, you wouldn't need it, but you need it.
That's right. In fact, what you notice is that this is a huge news story, which tells us that when Christians and Catholics, when we stand up and say, this is what the biblical truth is, this is what Christ Himself teaches, when it goes against the culture, people notice. But when we just go along, then we're ignored and nobody even cares what we think. That's why it's really encouraging, should be encouraging all us Christians. We need to stand up and preach what Christ has taught us to preach.
Right. And Eric, to your point about the clarity in this statement, that's what really encourage me, because we've seen a lot of statements come out that have a lot of gray area that's open, as you said, wiggle room, and knowing the backlash that's going to come from, you know, all of the cultural forces to try to get the church to retreat, I don't see any room in this statement for retreat.
No, there's really not, and which is beautiful. I mean, obviously, we should always be compassionate and loving and charitable to those who struggle with same-sex attraction, and that doesn't change from this statement.
Right.
Like, this is what's charitable to them, is to let them know that your struggle is real, but that you don't want to give in to sin, because that's the truth for all of us. All of us have a struggle with sin of some nature, and we want to avoid it and be encouraged to avoid it.
Yeah, to that point, one of the sentences in here is the declaration of the unlawfulness of blessings of unions between persons of the same sex is not, therefore, and is not intended to be a form of unjust discrimination, but rather a reminder of the truth. And that's ultimately, as believers, if we stand on the Word of God, it's not our opinion, it's not what we think, it's what God has said, and we don't need to apologize for that. And we don't need to back away from that.
That's right. And if we might hurt some feelings, but ultimately this is always for the good of the individuals involved. Because I don't know about you, but I know a number of people who have struggled with same-sex attraction in their life, and they've been freed from it, and they now live chaste lives, and they're so much more content and happy and peaceful. That's why statements like this are so necessary, because it tells them, yes, you can find freedom in Christ. You don't have to be bound by your sin. You are more than your sin. And so I think that's what statements like this do, is they remind us, don't fall into your sin and just become defined by, identified by it, but instead find freedom in Christ.
And as Jesus said, the truth is what will make you free. Eric Sammons, Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. Great insight, and thanks for stopping by and having a conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, encouraging you to pray for our nation. I want to thank you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.